So four things we're going to learn tonight about being faithful to God. We're talking this month about faithfulness and how we can learn all of these things from God's word. So the first one is cling to the Lord. First, 2 Kings chapter 18, we're going to read verses 1 through 7. And I'm not going to go into all of these passages. Man, there's just the word of God is so rich. And there's so much that you can learn if you just dive into. But we don't have time to spend a lot of time on the story. But I want to show you a couple of things about Hezekiah. So 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass in the third year of Hoshea, the son of Elah, king of Israel, that Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father David had done." Now his father, his actual father, was Ahaz, who did some terrible things. Including making his son pass through the fire, the way that they would kill their, sacrifice their children to heathen gods. But anyway, it would refer often to the father David because David went back all the way, you know, to, he was one of their ancestors that followed the Lord. So it says, according to all that his father David had done, he removed the high places and broke the sacred pillars, cut down the wooden image, and broke in pieces the bronze serpent that Moses had made. For until those days, the children of Israel burned incense to it and called it Nehushtan. He trusted the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went, and he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. You can be seated. So if you read 2 Kings and you read what his father Ahaz did and how he served the king of Assyria, you will see why this is such a big deal that he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. But what I want to really point out is verse 5. It says, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah. You can learn something from someone whose life is spoken about in that way. That after him, nobody was like him that served like him, the kings of Judah. Verse 6, for he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. And the Lord was with him, and he prospered wherever he went. So this says he kept the commandments, those that he had. He had the commandments of Moses, the commandments that had been given by Moses, the Ten Commandments, the commandments about how they were to live and sacrifice and those things. Now, we have commands given by the Holy Spirit. And so I want you to look in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. And it was interesting. I had never really noticed how it brings out that the Holy Spirit is who said this. Because if we are going to be faithful, the first thing we need to do is we need to learn to cling to the Lord. Because throughout our Christian life, there are going to come things and times that are going to try to pull us away. The sad thing is, and the thing that we really need to fight against in the church, because we're all of us here have been in the church for at least some time. And the thing that we have to fight against is what the children of Israel, what happened with them. They would continue to do some of the things that God commanded them, but then they would add to it their own things. Like they took the bronze serpent who God had told Moses to set up, and they started burning incense to it. They started worshiping something that was not meant to be worshiped. And we have to fight against that. So I want verse 7 of Hebrews 3, the heading over this section in my Bible is be faithful. And it says in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, this is the thing as children of God today, because today is Pentecost Sunday, and we're going to talk about being faithful. But the way that we do that is we have to listen to the commands that the Holy Spirit gives us. We serve a God that lives within us. We don't have to just follow the commands that are written on a page. Now, we do have to follow the commands that are written on a page because the Holy Spirit spoke these words in the Bible, and we need to pay very close attention to them. But we also need to be listening to the Spirit within us that is giving us commands as to what to do and what not to do and how to live. And so this says, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice. So this is New Testament. This is after what had happened in the Old Testament with the people. And he is bringing what happened to the people into the New Testament. And this is something that we need to pay very close attention to in the church. If you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Because I'm going to tell you, it can be something that can happen to us within the church is that our hearts can get hardened. And that can happen from children all the way up. Be very careful. If you grow up in the church and you think, I already know all this stuff. I already know how to do that. I already know what that means. And we can start to harden our heart through sin, through unbelief, through disrespect, toward God and what he says. And so this is important. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. The Bible says about Moses that the children of Israel knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. It is a different thing when you know what somebody can do and when you know how they live and what's important to them. And that was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel. And as the children of God, we have to make sure that we just don't know what God does and what he can do, but how he does it and why he does it. And that comes through relationship, through continual relationship. And I speak from a place of understanding, having grown up in the church. And I know how easy it is to just do what you're supposed to do and lose sight of how precious the relationship with the Father is, how closeness with the Holy Spirit feels, how walking in obedience to him requires relationship. It requires that we cling to him like Hezekiah did. So my second one through this part that we're learning is don't go away from God through unbelief. The longer that you walk with the Lord and the more that you see, it can be very easy to go away from God through unbelief. When we see, when things don't happen the way that we think they should, when God doesn't respond as quickly as we think that he should, when, we see other people fall away from the faith. In fact, in Psalm 101, it says, I hate the work of them that turn aside, it will not cling to me. And I've prayed that over my children because when you stay in the church a long time, you see people go away from the Lord and it can start to kind of make you hardened. And so that's something that I pray for our family, that it would not cling to us, that, and so that's something that we need to be careful again. So it says, therefore, I was angry with that generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my way. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. When we start to separate ourselves from God, unbelief comes as a result of that. When we start to forget who God is, when I start to struggle with unbelief and I start to struggle with my faith, I need to check who am I focusing on? Because usually it's because I have taken my focus off of God. And where is my time going? If I'm not spending enough time in with God, then I start to struggle with my faith often. So, an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This is one of the reasons why I love Hashtag News. If you are on Facebook and every day somebody's posting, hey, pray for this person. Hey, listen to this scripture. Hey, listen to this song. That is a beautiful thing because even if we don't call each other, but I would encourage you, if God puts somebody in the church, if you just are thinking about them all day, call them, text them, say, hey, are you okay? Is there something going on in your life? Let me just pray for you. Or just send them a verse that comes to your mind because this says, today we are to exhort one another daily while it is called today. And that's part of fellowshipping with psalms and hymns and sharing scriptures and worshiping together. That's part of being full of the Spirit. We're going to look at that next. But it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if We hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So we need to cling to the Lord, and we need to be careful not to go away through unbelief, not to let unbelief sneak in and steal our heart from God. And because that brings with it the deceitfulness of sin and vice versa. When we get into the deceitfulness of sin, it will pull our heart away from God. Number three, be full of the Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. That's something that most of us on a regular basis want to know. What is the will of God? What is God's will for my life? Well, here it says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 16, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, which means is excess. So don't be drunk in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is awesome that these, notice how these things go together. That he said, don't be drunk with wine because that is excess in the flesh. We are instead to be filled with the Spirit. The overflowing that comes when we, the excess that needs to happen needs to come from being full of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit overflowing through us and in us and out of us. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Continuing verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And then it continues on. So be full of the Holy Spirit. That word, actually, I read, my mom has told me throughout, I've heard it throughout my lifetime, that this word, but be filled with the Spirit, is a continuous present tense. Essentially, what it's saying is be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one time I came down and got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues once when I was seven. And I haven't spoken in tongues since then. When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit the first time, I was 10 years old. And I came to the front and the evangelist prayed over me and I spoke in tongues. But I since then have been filled with the Holy Spirit many times. And it's something that I am seeking. In fact, I will say I speak in my prayer language more now than I probably ever have in the last probably 4 or 5 years. I mean, it's just sometimes I don't even realize I'm speaking in tongues and I don't even realize that I've started speaking in tongues because it's such a part of my life. And I would encourage you, if you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, I understand that it feels weird. I felt that when in the beginning. I felt that the first time that I spoke in tongues. I felt that for many years after I started speaking in tongues. But I can attest to the fact that it is weird to speak any new language. Ask me and my sister who were working on our Spanish with my in-laws who are here. I mean, I have to think and I have to work very hard to think of saying the right words. Now, the cool thing is when you speak in tongues, you don't have to think. You don't have to come up with the words on your own. I don't have to translate in my head. The Holy Spirit gives it to me. But it still feels weird for my mouth to say things that are not English because I've grown up speaking English and it sounds weird and it feels weird. But you know what? I learned to speak Spanish when I was in high school and then more in college because my friends were Hispanic. But even more after I met my husband and his family was Hispanic because I love him. And that language is important to his family. So it's important to me, even if it's uncomfortable for me. If God offers us a language in which our spirit speaks to him, why would we not want to use that language to speak to him? And so I just understand I am very reserved by nature. And it was honestly very hard for me to speak in tongues initially. It's not hard anymore because the more that I've done it, the less awkward it has become. And so this says basically be being filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And verse 20 is so important. Giving thanks always for all things. Always pay attention, because God is not like us. He never is like, oh, you know, me and Rick have had conversations in the past and we'll say something and then we'll like, well, when I said always, I didn't mean every time. You know, or when I say all the time, sometimes we just get an exaggeration and we say you always or you never, and we don't really mean it. God never does that. If he says always, he means always. He never makes it. He never is, you know, accidentally over speaks. And so whenever you see all or always, pay attention, because God means what he says. And here it says giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important. A thankful heart is an important thing in the walk that we have with the Lord, is staying thankful to the Lord, because ungratefulness and a bad attitude will take us out of relationship with God. It can really hinder our attitude and really hinder what God is. The Bible also says in 2 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you, in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is the will of God that we would give thanks in everything. It is a testimony to the Lord, and it keeps our eyes focused on him, which is always necessary, because Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We're always to be looking unto him. So be full of the Spirit. And the fourth one is add to your faith. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I love these verses, and we're going to focus on verse 5 because it says, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. But I cannot leave out verses 2 through 5 because they are so powerful. So verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Okay, verse 5. But also, for this very reason, because of what we've just read, because all of these precious promises have been given to us so that we can partake, so that we can have part of the divine nature, so that we can walk in that God has promised us. For this reason, give all diligence and add to your faith virtue. Do you know in the Greek what the first definition of virtue is? It's going to surprise you, maybe, if you haven't studied it. Manliness. Hey, manliness. It also means valor. Add to your faith valor. It means manliness and valor. And that is awesome. Do you know that whoever we are, another thing that it means is excellence. And this was so neat as I was studying this past week, because it has been a prayer of mine. God, I want to do things with excellence. And honestly, I have learned that I've always been the type of person that I felt the need to do everything for everybody. And I've learned I can do a lot of things, but I can't necessarily do a lot of things well. And that's what I'm having to learn, is that even if I can do all of these things, I need to only do what God is telling me so that I can do them with excellence. And it is honestly still a work in progress for me to do things well, to get things done on time, to not be throwing things together, you know, and stressing myself and other people around me out. It's just a work in progress. I wish that I was there, but it is a work. God is getting me there. But one of the ways that God gets us to where he's calling us to be is he makes us uncomfortable with where we are. And you know, the truth is, for a good part of my life, that's just who I was. Like, no, I can do all 10 things. I might not do them well, but I would get them all done. I might be stressed out in the process. I might be stressed out everybody else that has anything to do with it, but that's just me. That's just who I am. I don't want to be that person anymore. I want to do things with excellence. And so God calls us up higher. He says, Shannon, be this. And then he shows us how to do it. And then he walks with us and gives us the power to accomplish it. And so this says, add to your faith virtue, excellence, valor, manliness, you know, to do things well, to do things right. And so this is what God is teaching me personally. It says to virtue, knowledge, to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, perseverance, or patience. A lot of people say, no, don't pray for patience because, you know, terrible things will happen. Listen, that's wrong. We should be patient as Christians. And if it requires some trials to get us there, then we need to be willing to go through the trials to get the patience that God is asking us to have. So that's just part of that. To perseverance or patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what another definition of barren is? If you look it up, it means laziness. It is very easy to get lazy in our Christianity. It's sadly, you know, because we should not allow laziness in our Christianity to where we're not striving to do what God is calling us to do. Now, the balance is that we learn to rest like the scripture that was given us in him, and we learn to live in his rest, but we continually seek to be more like Jesus. And if God says, hey, let go of this habit or stop watching that TV show or pursue excellence or fast or pray or get up early or go to bed early so that you can, you know, whatever God says, that's how we listen and we obey. If we try to do it on our own and we look at somebody else and we go, oh, they're doing that, I should do that. That's when we get stressed out. I know, because I found that on a graduation weekend when I was going, I am not one of those moms that have all of these things and do all of these things. And, you know, I keep learning. I can't be everybody else. I can't do all of those things, because if I try to do the things that God's not telling me to do, I will stress myself out and not be able to do the things that God is telling me to do. So our job is to pursue him and then listen when he tells us to do something and not do something when he tells us not to do it. And as we do that, we will do these things, because the Spirit will always be calling us higher. He will be calling us to add to our faith virtue, to add to virtue knowledge. Whenever you start to have a desire, man, you know, I really just know I need to get in the Word more. I just really need more knowledge of spiritual things. I need to understand what God... That's not coming from you in your flesh. That's because the Holy Spirit's saying, let's add to your faith some knowledge. Let's add to that excellence some knowledge. Let's add to that knowledge some self-control. And then you might have some trials. And that's when you be thankful and everything. Thank you, Lord, for this trial, because you are teaching me self-control and patience. You know, and as through that, we add to our faith. Okay, let's just finish this out for verse 9. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, as has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's what happens. And we're back to the beginning. If we don't cling to the Lord, we will forget what we were cleansed of. And it will start not to matter as much as it did in the beginning. And that does not have to happen. It never, I've seen my mom has been in the church and served the Lord all my life. And I have never seen her. Now, she would say, I'm sure that she struggled, but I don't see her any less dedicated to the Lord now than she was when I was a child. She is continually serving and seeking to know the Lord. We are training for reigning. We never get to a point where we know it all, and we don't need to be getting closer to the Lord. And because she is continually adding to her faith, she's not short-sighted. She hasn't forgotten that she was cleansed. She is just as quick to thank Jesus for what he has accomplished in and through her. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want to end this with a song. It's cool because the Bible says, add to your faith all of these things. In Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. As we submit to the Holy Spirit, as we walk full of him, He produces those fruits, just like being connected to a tree. A tree connected to the ground produces fruit with the sunlight and with the water. The Holy Spirit produces those fruits in our lives. And so I just want to challenge you. I felt led to play this song. And so as we play this song, I just want to invite you. Being full of the Holy Spirit is about more of God. That is what it is. That is asking God, I want, like Rick said this morning, I want all that you have for me. In Ephesians, of course, we read in Ephesians 5, where it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesus, in Acts chapter 19, it tells the story of when Paul went to Ephesus. Of course, Ephesians was written to the church at Ephesus after Paul had gone there and on a missionary journey. A church had been established. Timothy was there. And then Paul sent the letter of Ephesians after he was in prison back to the church at Ephesus. And he said, be filled with the Spirit. Of course, in Acts chapter 19, you see where when they got to Ephesus, they said, there were some believers there. And they said, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then they said, no, we haven't even heard that there was any Holy Spirit. And they said, well, then what were you baptized into? They said, into John's baptism. So they baptized them in the name of Jesus. They laid hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I just want to challenge you, as this song plays, there is something about laying on of hands when it comes to the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, many people, it doesn't have to happen. People have received the Holy Spirit without anybody laying hands on them. The Holy Spirit is not boxed in to only doing things a certain way. God is way bigger than any box that we have. But you do see that in the scripture. So I just want to invite you, if you want us to lay hands on you and pray that you will receive the Holy Spirit as the song plays, we are happy to do that. But I just challenge you, even if you have already received the Holy Spirit and you've already been filled with the Holy Spirit, as this song plays, just ask God for more of Him. Say, God, I want to be being filled with you. I want more of you in my life. And if there's anything that needs to go out so that more of you can come in, then God, I invite you to do that. And then be prepared to be obedient to what He says.